have an MD to make a difference in the medical needs of your community. Hello, and welcome to Ministry Now, a resource from the faculty at Southwestern Seminary, helping you live your calling in an ever-changing ministry landscape. I'm Katie McCoy, and today we're talking with Dr. Rebecca Naylor about medical ministry and how you can meet tangible human needs in your community. She's an IMB missionary emeritus, as well as one of our professors here at Southwestern in the Roy Fish School of Evangelism and Missions. Dr. Naylor, thank you for coming on Ministry Now.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're so delighted to have you. I think my favorite description of you came from a very big fan of your ministry who called you the Baptist Mother Teresa.
Well, I usually just say I was just doing what God asked me to do.
Oh, you've lived such a fascinating life. Would you share with our viewers some of your experiences, your background, and especially your ministry experiences internationally?
Yes, I would be happy to do that. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. This is home. And God called me into medical missions when I was a teenager. So I spent a lot of years preparing through college and medical school and became a surgeon after 5 years of surgical training. Being a Southern Baptist, I only considered going overseas with the IMB. So it was that I applied and was needed in the country of India. I arrived in India in 1974. And served at the Bangalore Baptist Hospital there for my entire missionary career. I was also engaged not only in medical care, but also in church planting, in discipleship ministries, in teaching, and consider India, even today, I consider India still my almost my home.
Not only that, I'm sure you wouldn't share this about yourself, so we'll just share it for you. In 2017, you received the Pfizer Lifetime Humanitarian Award from the American College of Surgeons. And in 2018, the Fort Worth Business Press named you one of the year's healthcare heroes. Would you tell us a little bit about your initiative called Mercy Clinic?
Yes. When I came back from India, I, of course, returned to my home church in Fort Worth, which is Travis Avenue Baptist Church. I discovered that in the decades of my absence, the community had changed, the demographics had changed, and the neighborhood around the church was one now of much need physically, economically, and for health care. It seemed to me that knowing that healthcare and evangelism go together so well as I experienced in India, why couldn't we do something in our own church? It took a few years of conversations and prayers, but it was possible to begin the Mercy Clinic. And we actually first saw patients in the year 2013. The clinic is now 7 years old, has continued to grow, sees about 2,000 patients in a year. It's volunteer staffed and a free clinic for people who have no insurance and no other access to health care.
That's incredible. Could we talk about that a little more? You just said health care and evangelism go hand in hand, that they go together. A lot of people are talking about that very question, about how do we balance, or what is the relationship between meeting spiritual needs and meeting physical needs? How would you say that those two factors in what a human person needs relate?
First of all, I think we need to think about this. It applies not just in healthcare, but for every follower of Jesus. How does our everyday world, our profession, our work, whatever it is, how does that fit with our identity in Jesus Christ and his commission to us as believers? I feel that they must be totally integrated. As you do whatever it is that you do, your identity as a Christ follower should be evident, and your verbal witness should be present. So as a physician and looking at meeting needs physically, I have a very open opportunity to share my faith in Jesus Christ. We are obligated to meet physical needs. The scripture is very clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We can especially look at the model of Jesus. And if you look in the Gospels and the encounters that people that Jesus had with people, very often he was both meeting a physical need and the spiritual need. And so following that example, which we are to do, certainly both go together. And Jesus commissioned his disciples. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And even in the early church in the book of Acts, we see meeting physical needs happening regularly in the early church. So we have every reason to know that they go together.
So some people find this relationship between spiritual needs and physical needs to be in tension, so much so that they're concerned that if we focus too much on meeting physical needs, that we're going to sacrifice the integrity of the gospel, the integrity of the Great Commission, and then also our mission's work. What would you say to the pastor, the seminary student, the layperson who is concerned that by meeting physical needs, we're going to veer off into some kind of wrong theology?
If you look in scripture, it even talks about how if a person is cold or in difficulty, how can he listen to the gospel? I think that we need to remember this. Obviously, we would agree that the greatest need anyone has is for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely, this is true. But very often, you will not ever get to that spiritual conversation until you have met whatever pressing, urgent need is there in that person. Yes, there is a debate. There is a tension. Unfortunately, there has in past years been a divorce or separation between proclaiming the gospel and demonstrating the gospel. That is not scriptural. Jesus did not do that. Therefore, we need to both proclaim and demonstrate. I always found in my own experience that As I took care of patients, I had opportunity to pray with them. I had opportunity to share a word of testimony. I had opportunity to present the gospel. And it was not a matter of being a doctor 8 hours a day and then going somewhere and doing evangelism. It has to happen as we are doing our everyday work. And so I think for the layperson, for the pastor, no matter who it is, as a Christ follower, it has to be integrated.
So how can churches play a part in meeting some of these needs in a way that brings people to Christ? And are you seeing examples of this, especially in the middle of this global pandemic? Are you seeing examples of this happening internationally, especially in the moment that we're in right now?
What I'm hearing, I'm hearing much internationally, but also here in our own country, we are having opportunities of witness almost beyond any that we've had in ages. The pandemic has created fear. It certainly created uncertainty. It has created a sense in people of, well, what if I die? what are these eternal questions that people have, and they're having to face those. And this creates an opportunity that we as believers can just walk right into. Overseas, just all kinds of things are happening. I heard a story out of Africa, a Muslim people, and they are giving out bars of soap, which people normally don't use soap. And they printed some flyers. On one side, it's good virus news. And on the other side is good news. And a Muslim background believer, a national, is handing out flyers and bars of soap and having opportunity to share the gospel right on the spot. And people are being saved right on the spot. I heard another story from East Asia, actually Southeast Asia, in the country of Cambodia. They had prepared a video on how to disinfect your house. And, you know, there was the bottle of bleach and the basin and the gloves and the water and all these things. And the video demonstrates, and then in the house, wiping off the light switches and the door handles. And this video they put on social media, and churches in the country also picked it up, and it was going all over the country and included at the end a way to contact the source, basically. Just so many things. Another big issue in our country and all over the world in this pandemic are mental health issues.
Yes.
People are depressed. They're afraid. Anxiety disorders. This gives us a tremendous opportunity. And now you can do so many things online. And even if we're sheltering in place, our missionaries, especially, I heard a story in Europe, which, you know, we think of Europe being very progressive as it is, and yet facing these mental health issues online, they are having great opportunity of witness that's unprecedented.
Amazing. As a medical doctor, what would you say then are the urgent and important needs in our communities today? For the person watching this, they may not be able to engage in international missions for quite a while given our circumstances, but what can they do in their communities to meet these needs now?
We all know that so many people have lost jobs. Many people are struggling just with basic necessities like food. And so that's certainly an area in which we can be helpful. And the mental health crises, whether your church has a hotline or some way that your church could start to address mental health needs, even as you perhaps still are not able to meet together. I would think that these are some of the examples of ways that we could be involved.
Mm-hmm. I heard something on the news about how donations to food banks have just skyrocketed, and I can only imagine how many creative ways a church could get involved in their community in that way.
With every food packet that your church gives out, or a box of food or whatever it is, you can put in there a track or evangelistic material or information about your church or whatever can be included just with it, even if you don't have opportunity in the circumstance for a verbal witness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So here's a question that we don't probably talk about enough. How can we be caring for healthcare workers in our communities? What can we be doing to serve them? I can only imagine just how it's at this fever pitch crisis mode for 2, going on 3 months for doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals. How can we help them especially in hospitals, when we can't even go in to these areas. It's so restricted.
I think obviously we can pray for them, and we must do that. But, you know, think of any way that you can encourage them. If you personally know healthcare providers, or like they're in your church, a phone call. Maybe they're working so many hours and shifts that they don't even have time to prepare meals. A meal for their family, even if you just leave it on the porch and say, you know, come out and get it or something. Something tangible in that way. And then I think to provide for them the necessary spiritual and emotional support when they're facing death and dying on a daily basis, that is very difficult. And they're facing risk, not only to themselves, but they're probably worried about their families and taking something home to them. So emotional and spiritual support in whatever ways you can do that, online, telephone, things like that.
Well, when we're talking about meeting other people's needs, so often we're talking about meeting needs of people outside of our own homes. And yet so many people, perhaps who are watching this right now, find that they are the ones in need. Could you speak a word of just spiritual encouragement for the person watching this, who perhaps they are the ones who are in both material and spiritual need in the wake of this pandemic?
I think it's important that we express our needs. And very often people find this very difficult to do. They think they should be self-sufficient. They should be spiritually self-sufficient. But we do need other people. And I think it's important to express that need to someone you trust, or to your church, or to somebody. People are ready to help. And I think too, we in our own need, you know, it's easy to get so focused on our own need that we forget about others' needs. And is there a way, even with my own need, that I can help another person? You know, the Bible talks about the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in order that we may comfort others. If your faith is allowing you to experience, and I pray that it is, this God of all comfort, this is something you have to give, even if you have lost your job and you're worried about food. You can still express your faith to other people. And, you know, you may know a resource to help someone else that they don't know about. There are just still ways that you can reach out to others, and inevitably that's going to make you feel better about your own situation.
Yes, so good. This has just been very practical and helpful, Dr. Naylor. Before we go, I want to let our viewers know that if her last name sounds familiar, there's a reason for that. She is the daughter of Dr. Robert Naylor, who was the fifth president of Southwestern Seminary. And Dr. Naylor, I understand that you are teaching a new class at Southwestern, and you got to just create it from scratch. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Basically, the class, it's entitled Human Needs, Ministries, and Church Planting. And it's basically what I've just shared in this interview this morning. And we talk about how, as we meet needs, we can engage in evangelism, in discipleship, in starting churches, in developing leaders. And, you know, the two do go together. So this class is a great opportunity to talk about these things in detail.
And if you are interested in that class and other classes that we have, visit swbts.edu for the full list of courses at Southwestern Seminary and Scarborough College. Dr. Naylor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's good to visit with you.
And as always, thank you to our viewers for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week as we talk with Dr. David Dockery on leading through change and an institutional crisis. This is Ministry Now. Until next time, live your calling.